You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Saturday marks the first ever official commemoration of the New Zealand Wars. The New Zealand Wars were a series of battles that took place across the 19th century between government troops and Māori. Lives were lost on both sides, communities were terrorised, while land was confiscated in what was a defining time in this country's short history. Commemorations to mark the wars were held around the country on Saturday, with gatherings taking place at some of the key sites of the battles. Well, earlier I spoke to Auckland University historian Dr. Aroha Harris about the commemorations, and I began by asking why it is important that we remember this time of our history.
I think it's really important that we learn about them. You know, it's an opportunity to reflect on who we are today and how we got to be here. So, you know, and I have that sense about New Zealand history in general, but I think We do think about wars, but we never really think about the wars on our own territory. We tend to think about participation in wars away from here.
Why has it taken so long for some form of official commemoration to take place?
That's a good question. There's some technical elements around sort of public commemorations, which are to do with, you know, having to have served overseas is the kind of criteria that gets used, which is why in Australia they sometimes do acknowledge those who served here in New Zealand during the New Zealand Wars, but we don't do the same thing. So I think that's a small element of it. I think there's been a long running resistance to New Zealand history in general, or an attitude that there's nothing to learn here. You know, what can you learn about a country that's so young? If you measure the age of our country by European contact, you regard it as a young country and assume that there's nothing to learn here. But, you know, I think it's James Balich, who's pointed out that, you know, that might be a short period, but a hell of a lot has happened in that short time.
Can we still see the effects of these wars today?
I think you can see it in the landscape. I mean, you and I are based at a university with a barracks wall, the remains of a barracks wall running through it. So you can see that kind of, you can see it physically on the landscape if you know what you're looking at. And I think that we do see it in society today because the aftermath of the wars and the confiscations in particular is a huge part of how Māori territory got transferred to the settler government. It's a massive part of what we tend to gloss over and call nation building and pioneering. And so, you know, we live with that whether we realise it or not. It's there, and the impacts are there. I know that for some of the peoples who were displaced, especially around the Waikato, and who never got back to their territory, they've become these kind of long-term, refugees, guests of other iwi who have, given them marae within their territory because they could, you know, they never got to return home. So I think that there are people living with displacement over the long term, peoples in Taranaki who lived with virtually their whole male population going to prison. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised if some of those effects are intergenerational.
Do you think Māori still hurt from what happened during these wars?
Yes, I do. You hear Māori talking about the mamai, the hurt, and how even, you know, some of the work that Māori groups do with the Waitangi Tribunal, it's partly about trying to relieve that hurt in some way, trying to find some healing. So I think that, yes, that Māori people do hurt from these things.
With these commemorations, how important is it that a full account of what happened is told and people are made aware of? Because a lot of what happened was quite bad, especially on the hands of the government.
Yes, and I think that's something to really reflect on, that we are talking about war. We're talking about humans raising arms against humans and doing things that, you know, in contemporary settings we like to be quite vocal about. and we call describe things as being inhumane. And, you know, I think it's important to just kind of think on that, about that happening here among our own ancestors. And, the, you know, there was a time when the New Zealand Wars, those that did talk about or study about them, got a little bit glossed over as it's an unfortunate thing that happens when you're trying to develop a nation and you have to do it by way of coming into contact with a Indigenous people. So, you know, unfortunate but necessary, I think, might be the term that got, was used for some time. And, yeah, it's, I mean, one of the reasons that I think it's a good thing to reflect on is so that we get a sense of how long-lasting the impacts of war are.
Mm.
They don't, you know, when the last shot is fired, that's not when the war is over. You know, that's when you can start sort of thinking about life again and trying to recover. There's actually a lot of aftermath to get through.
In terms of the teaching of history, how important is it that these wars are taught in schools?
I'm a big advocate for teaching New Zealand history in schools, and I don't know how you could teach New Zealand history and not somehow cover the wars.
Mm.
I think you'd be teaching something that's incomplete. It's such a massive part of the 19th century, and if you think about, you know, the earliest wars with imperial troops in the 1840s, and you could go the final sort of battles between Māori and settler troops in the 1870s, or you could run through to 1916 with the arrest of Ruakenana, or you could, you know, some people would say, and don't forget the terror raids in Tūhoe. So you could, you know, we could think about war or at least that kind of conflict over a longer period and think about it quite differently. But for the 19th century wars, it's a significant and intense period, I think, if you're just thinking about the span of the 19th century.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that would serve a beneficial purpose for the country moving forward?
Yes, I do, actually. I'm a believer in history giving us some guidance for going forward, and I know that people think it does the opposite, that it shackles us to the past and we'll never get away from it, but I think if you just pretend it's not there, that's when you'll never get away from it, because it is there.
Mm. Just finally, do you think moving forward with these commemorations, do you think ultimately a public holiday would be a good idea for the New Zealand Wars?
Well, this is where I'm going to get offside with some people. I need to have a much longer and I think perhaps a different conversation about public holiday and what a new public holiday might look like or be for. And it's not that I don't think the wars should be commemorated in some way. I think public commemoration has been good for us on other fronts. Like, you know, if you think about ANZAC, you know, there are some benefits to come out of public commemoration. I need to think about commemorating war. And if we're up for a new public holiday, I think I would want to see all the different options on the table. It might be nice to have a public holiday that commemorates women in some way, for example.
Mm.
You know, I think to me, that the public holiday is a bigger question than New Zealand Wars. I'm totally fine with commemoration, and I'm sure that's an unpopular opinion that I'm giving.
Around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.